Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Greg Wyshynski from Puck Daddy Yahoo Sports joining us in a few moments to talk about the Stanley Cup Final. First of all, our play-by-play call of the day. Our show today brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar led by the Dills of the Barrels are second to none. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Red Sox and Orioles last night at Camden Yards. Mark Trumbo goes deep.
Trumbo, fly ball, left field, back of the corner, way back there. Hit that baby, bye-bye. A Trumbo jumbo right away. First inning, 2-0 Orioles.
Okay. That's our play-by-play call today, courtesy of WJZ in Baltimore and the Orioles Radio Network. O's went on to beat the Red Sox last night 7-5. Very pleased to bring in Puck Daddy from Yahoo Sports, Greg Wyshynski. Greg, welcome. It's great to have you on the show for the first time.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to start with this. Nashville, for the first time ever, gets a Stanley Cup final game tomorrow night. What has it meant to Southern hockey? What has it meant to that city to get to this point?
Well, I just got here today, and I can say that it's pretty insane. It's very sort of a collegiate atmosphere, I'd say. Like, all the businesses have, you know, signs up in their windows supporting the Predators. There's a giant party on Broadway, like, right near the arena where there's, you know, it's going to be going out throughout the weekend. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, they've long tried to position the Predators as sort of the team of the South. And it seems like it's finally gaining some traction. I've talked to some people in Alabama who say that the Buffalo Wild Wings, 2 hours away from Nashville in Alabama, have been packed with fans and Predators jerseys. So something's going on here insofar as people really jumping on the bandwagon for this team.
I want to get to Pecorine for a moment, because during the playoffs, he's had a really good career. I mean, a long career, really good career. And in the playoffs, he's been outstanding. Now, I know in the past he has not had great success with the Penguins, but what problem has he had in this series, and how much of that problem deals with the people who are playing in front of him?
Well, I don't think they've been good for stretches. And in total honesty, the Penguins have done most of their damage in a couple of four-minute stretches in both of these games. But, you know, the concern for Pekka beyond his record against the Penguins, which is, you know, he's got one win against them in about, 11 games, I think, in his career. The bigger concern is that he's not the same guy who's carried them through the first three rounds of these playoffs. His save percentage is decreased in each round after that brilliant shutout performance against the Blackhawks in that sweep that kind of got them going. And so I think there's a little bit of concern that maybe he's, you know, slowing down. It's been a grind on him. But also you also have to, you know, look on the other side of the ice at a Penguins team that's been the best offensive team in the playoffs and is there with a just dynamic shooting percentage right now.
All right, so when you look at this, there have been moments where, and obviously Game 1 is a perfect example, but there have been moments in this where Nashville has outplayed Pittsburgh. When they've been able to outplay them, what has been the formula to them outplaying the Penguins, and then what do they need to do to really fully take advantage of it?
I think part of it, as far as the Penguins go, they've been smart with keeping the puck away from Pekka Rene on dump-ins to really allow them to get their forecheck going. They've been very opportunistic, obviously. not getting a whole load of shots on goal, but making the ones that they get count. And then also just relying on their own defensive acumen. You know, this is obviously a team that's been able to do this without Chris Letang, their best defenseman. The defense that they've had has been a little bit of patchwork at times. And you know, the goaltending that they've gotten from both Marc-Andre Fleury for 2.5 rounds and now Matt Murray, the brilliant rookie who led them to the Cup last year, has been stellar. And I think a real steadying presence for them. So overall, the thing that I've learned most about this Penguins team, I think, in this playoff run is they have the poise of a champion. They have patience. They have confidence that they've got players that will be able to make a play when necessary. And when you have that, then it's unflappable. I mean, whatever the opponent's throwing at you, you're confident you're going to be able to overcome it.
I want to get to Crosby for a moment. I mean, when you watch Crosby on a game in a game out basis and get an opportunity to see him up close, what is it about the precision of his game that you think separates him from other people?
Well, you know, first of all, the one thing that's always impressing about him is the constant work that goes into his game. You know, when he first came into this league, there was criticism about him not being able to win a faceoff, and then he worked his tail off and became a dominant faceoff guy. He does everything you can ask for him on the ice. He goes to the dirty areas, he makes plays, he can play physically. But, you know, in talking to the players, the thing that he offers this team more than anything else is just it's a trickle down, basically. Like, he's poised, he's confident, he's focused, he's got a laser focus on winning a championship, and the rest of the players kind of feed off that. And there's a reason he wears the captaincy, and it's for that very reason, which is that he is, without question, the player that they take their cues from. And that's why I've got him on top of my rankings right now for postseason MVP, even though he's not leading the playoffs in points like Malkin is. I just think that he's been incredibly valuable to this team during this run.
Then there's Malkin, who actually does lead in points overall. He plays a different kind of game in Crosby. Does that give the Penguins balance because they are different style players?
Oh, definitely. And I mean, the 1-2 punch that they've had in their lineup for years with those been a remarkable thing. That, I mean, you know, there's a lot of superstars in the NHL that have to do a lot of heavy lifting on their own. They don't have a, you know, all-timer on the line playing behind them. And, you know, Malkin didn't make 100 greatest players of all time. There's no question that he's on the list. And frankly, it's such an advantage. I mean, if Sid's not going, Malkin is. If Malkin's not going, Sid's going. And it makes the Penguins extraordinarily hard to beat.
Last year, a guy like Matt Cullen came on, did really, really well for the Penguins in the playoffs. And now it's a kid, Jake Guentzel. What has Guentzel's contributions, you know, and what does he bring to the ice with his game that has made him a difference maker in the playoffs?
Well, he brings a shot, and that's a good thing to have when you have Crosby Malkin being able to distribute the puck to you on a regular basis. His speed game has been an asset.
I believe we lost Greg. There he is. We'll wait to get Greg Wyshynski back. May have hit a dead spot with his cell phone, which is something that happens from time to time. And when it happens from time to time, this is where you get paid the big money because you're the one that gets to fill the time until the guest reappears magically on the show. We're talking about the Stanley Cup Final. Game 3 will be tomorrow night in Nashville at Bridgestone Arena. First time Nashville has ever hosted a Stanley Cup Final. The Pens lead the series 2-0. Nashville outplayed them in Game 1, and the Penguins still won. They don't do this thing on style points. And then the Penguins were the better team without question, I thought, almost all the way through in Game 2 and won it by a score of 4-1. They'll play Game 3 tomorrow night. It is on NBC tomorrow night as the Penguins will take on the Nashville Predators. Predators came in as the 16th seed in this thing when it was all said and done. And, of course, the Penguins, while not the number one seed, had a great regular season, were right there in the thick of it as the season went along. Nashville, they didn't get in by the skin of their teeth, but they still had the 16th best record of any team, and they've been able to win their way through three rounds to get to this point. It'll be a wild atmosphere tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. These fans have been aching to see this now, and what's the 18th year of the franchise? They've been aching to see something like this. And now it's happened, and Peter Laviolette has done a great job in terms of coaching this team, combinations he's put out, defensively they played well. Not having Johansson's made has certainly been an issue for them. I think you know, Nashville's a team that, even though the Penguins don't have Chris Letang, the margin of error for the Penguins is far wider than it is for Nashville. Nashville has a narrow margin for error just because of the circumstances. There's a reason you're the 16th seed, because you know your margin of error is going to be less than the team that's in one of the top five seeds. And Noah Johansson has made a difference, I think, for them. It's taken one more guy off the ice that probably has a chance to produce a goal for you right when they need to get a goal. And the Penguins have been able, when they've needed plays, have needed goals, have been able to find somebody who gets a goal for them. And you look at the goal that was scored. So, I'm trying to think. Was it Gensel's goal the other night? Gensel's, but they... Three Nashville players went to the corner with one Pittsburgh player. And they were able to get it to the center and just had a direct shot one-on-one against Pecorine. No defenseman in front, nobody there to block a shot, nobody there to defend it. It was just one-on-one, beat him. And that's the influence that the Penguins' speed and stars have on the game. They draw a lot of attention, and in the process of drawing a lot of attention, it frees up other people to, quote, do their deal. Gensel has 12 goals because he's been able to do his deal, just play his game. Chris Kunitz was really outstanding at the end of the last round against Ottawa. Was able to go out, play, do his deal. And Murray's been very good. Murray's been the guy, let's face it, as a goaltender. I think Murray's the guy that in reality has been Mike Sullivan's guy, and when he finally had a chance to get him back into the lineup completely healthy, he did. Because that's his guy. And so game three is tomorrow night. So we'll take a break, see if we can get Greg back in the line. If we can, that'd be great as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
We apologize. Every once in a while, an excellent guest like Greg Wyshynski, and I was really enjoying the conversation, hits a dead spot in the cell. You know, it's just modern technology.
We've actually had a pretty good streak with cell phone calls on the show lately. <Right. laughs>
What we'll do is let's see if we can try and get Greg back next week.
Yeah.
I mean, the Stanley Cup final will continue Saturday, and maybe there'll be another opportunity to get him on, and that happens.
Yeah, we got a full boat of shows next week and the week after.
Well, don't threaten the audience. Just be subtle about it. By the way, a big week next week. Suit Light graduates from high school, as we pointed out.
Yeah.
Do you see the registered? Yeah. Right up our alley. Dollar General.
Dollar Tree. Family Dollar.
Yeah. that's us. that screams Sean Carey and Steve Jones.
Good stuff cheap. Oh, that's another great store, too.
Oh.
Ollie is not Suit Light's middle name.
You know what? That's a great accomplishment, because you know what? He'll graduate from high school next week, and to his credit, has an outstanding grade point average. An outstanding grade point average. Thank goodness for his mother. All right, so. and they asked him, you know, what do you want to major in? He said digital media. So it's
cutting edge.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Apple didn't fall too far from that tree.
Ooh. Richard Justice, by the way, from MLB.com, great guest coming up on Monday. Looking forward to that very much. Sit down, talk a little bit of baseball. I was talking today with some people, and they were asking about, you know, is this your off season? I said, well, yes, technically, I guess it is. And I said, I'm doing shows every day, and, you know, I work, you know, TV. In fact, I got to tape another TV show next week, as a matter of fact. And I said, you know, I said, I don't want an off season. Now, it doesn't mean I don't enjoy time off. I mean, last weekend was Memorial Day weekend. It was the first time I've had three consecutive days off since Christmas. And I enjoyed it. Really admit I enjoyed it. But I don't want an off season. Remember we had Eli Gold on, the Alabama play-by-play announcer?
That's right, back in January.
Mm-hmm. And you know how much I personally like Eli, just as a guy. Just a great guy.
Well, you and I, off air, I mean, we talk about, you know, we kick around who could we get on for future guests, and that was one that you had on your radar for quite some time.
Because I just personally like Eli all the times I've talked with him, kidded around with him, and so forth, and I just have great respect for his work. And he not only does Alabama football, but he also does Alabama basketball. Because I've run across Eli both in football and basketball, because we've been in some tournaments, you know, and so forth. But he also does Alabama and SEC baseball and softball. And, of course, as he pointed out, he's a huge hockey fan. He used to sit up in the next to last row at Madison Square Garden. He grew up as a hockey fan. And when we were talking on the show, remember we talked about the changing of seasons, and the two of us firmly believe it keeps us fresh as broadcasters. I'm about to start the Spikes, and this is the 12th season that I've done the Spikes. I have, you know, and people say, well, Steve, it's minor league baseball. I thoroughly enjoy it. I love calling baseball. Which then football season comes up. Great energy, looking forward to the challenge and the excitement of it. And then it goes to basketball season. I'm not sitting there and locked into one thing and one thing only. I really enjoy going from sport to sport to sport, because each one brings with it its own style, pace, challenge, whatever word you want to use. And I enjoy that very much. I believe, as Eli Gold said, I believe, and we had talked about that in the broadcast, that I said, I feel it keeps me fresh, and he jumped in right away. Remember that? He says, wow. And he says, exactly right, keeps me fresh. I think I did the interview when I was at Purdue at the time. And I think that's really important, and I enjoy the pace of it very, very much. Baseball is a different game to call than football. Basketball is a different game to call than football and baseball. Now, I've done some other sports along the way, but those have now, over the last dozen years, have been my three primary sports. And there's a real enjoyment that each one brings. Doesn't matter to me, it's minor league baseball. It's baseball. And we'll be talking a lot of baseball in the next couple of weeks. Spikes, by the way, start in 17 days, as do the Crosscutters. They'll play one another. I guess they put the field in at Williamsport. So I guess they've done that. And takes about 3 weeks for a field to settle in. And I was told that they think that it's going to it. You know, and they've done a great job with that ballpark, by the way, up at Williamsport. They put that party deck in down right field, which I think is going to really be the centerpiece of what they're doing. I give the Williamsport people a lot of credit. I mean, a lot of credit. It's a 90-year-old ballpark. And they've gone out, and I think they've done the best they can with it. I mean, really. State College has the built-in advantage of being brand new, and it really isn't a... State College's ballpark, I mean, Medlar Field's completely beautiful. But that's what I enjoy. I enjoy the challenge. I feel like challenge is the wrong word. I'm overcoming something to do it. That's ridiculous. But I enjoy the change of pace of each so much. Very lucky. All right, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show. Well, time now for the guy that next week will be in charge of keeping Sean out of trouble at the reception. It's a big job. I mean, Sean is known as a rabble. You got to keep Sean out of trouble.
We're going to do the bunny hop.
Oh, gee, you won't let that go.
No, we got to do the bunny hop or the hustle. Come on.
So you're not really, you're not an electric slide fan?
I could do that.
Or the cha-cha slide?
Well, I've never done the cha-cha slide.
Okay.
What's that other thing that everyone...
That's the chicken dance.
Yeah, we can do that, too. I like that. So, it's up to you. If you don't want to do it, fine. I'll do it alone.
I'm sure we can film it.
Or someone will.
and use it later.
I will do it with my beautiful bride. So. Right. She'll do it. She's ready. You should see her dance. Holy moly. She can dance. So... I'm not going to be able to keep up with her with my bum leg, but that's all right. I'll figure it out. You know the weird thing? You know when you've lived alone for a while and you just don't, you know. So when you finally share a bed with somebody and you have no idea what you do when you sleep, you know, because there's nobody that's been around to tell me. She says the other night... I was talking in my sleep, but I was talking like Chinese or Japanese. And then I finished and started barking like a dog. And I'm like, huh? I remember barking, but I don't know why, you know? So the poor lady's got to deal with that stuff, and it's not too good.
Steve, your tease last hour to this segment fit
She doesn't make a sound, so. But me, oh boy. So, anyway, that's all I got, and life is good, and I feel bad for Tiger Woods. Don't ask me why. What do you guys feel about Tiger?
Oh, yeah, when you watch that dash cam video, you do feel bad. It's an absolute fall from grace.
It's prescription medication. It's prescription medication. You can get a bad mix. I mean, it's just his back is so bad. I have no idea what medications he's on, and if they didn't find the right balance, that's why someone with his means. And I said this on Monday. I said someone with his means has to have either common sense within themselves, or else have a manager with common sense that says, "Hey, look, until this thing is straightened out, you're getting a driver for everything." Because guess what? You can afford it.
Yeah, you can afford it. And you want to know what? And I'm glad you have the opinion you have. Because some of these other guys, their opinion, there's a lot of people who don't get caught, yet they have a huge opinion about stuff like this. He's made a mistake, and now he has to have the film shown all over the world. We shouldn't be watching that stuff. He didn't hurt anybody. It's just, why are we watching a body cam of Tiger Woods doing it? That's just so unfair. He's done some rotten things in his life. I get all that, but why are people putting a spin on it to make them so it's like that idiot Kathy Griffin? I mean, you get involved in things you got no business being involved in. So, anyway, okay.
Well, what's happened with that, let's just go specifically to Tiger Woods. I'm not going to get into her at all. Is Tiger Woods, for a talk show host or for a writer, is a means to an end. Now, what does that mean? In other words, if I talk about Tiger Woods and offer this strong opinion about where he's gone wrong and so forth without personally knowing him, I mean, I've only been in a press conference with him. I mean, I've never, outside of being in a press conference with him, I've never been, that's the only time I've been in the same room with him.
Right.
Okay. He becomes a means to an end because he then becomes the trigger name. If I start talking about Tiger Woods, I get listeners. If I start going after Tiger Woods, I get listeners. If I write about Tiger Woods, I get readers. So that becomes the trigger, and big names are the trigger that some people use in this business. And I'm talking about the irresponsible ones.
Mm-hmm.
That use those triggers to get listeners and to get readers. Now, it's okay to talk about it, the fact that it did happen.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it leads to a deeper discussion of mixed medications, what they can do, and of course, now separate from this, now this is a separate issue, but does deal with pain, and that's the opioid crisis.
Right.
So you have to have the ability and the depth to understand that you can take it in a more meaningful direction rather than the screen grab, the clickbait, or whatever it happens to be, where I'm now going to pontificate about Tiger Woods. And, you're talking about Tiger Woods? I think I'll
wait a second. What's pontificate mean?
Pontificate means you're preaching.
Oh, wow. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. And so if you want to get out there and do that, right, and because you can't think any deeper than that, so be it. That's your shtick. But
I agree with you 100%.
To constantly use people as a means to an end. Look, did he do something wrong? Did he make a mistake? Yeah.
Yeah.
But he also has gone through back surgeries, and I don't know what medications he's on. And neither do the people that are ripping him. They don't know. And the Tiger Woods' lack of judgment in this deals with the fact that, look, you're taking a lot of medications right now. Maybe they aren't mixing right. Maybe you did take, maybe you took too many and didn't realize he did, whatever. But he should have had a hired a driver until he's clear of this and feels comfortable doing this instead of attempting to go out and drive on his own.
Right. No, what he did was wrong. I mean, he's impaired behind the wheel. That's it.
Right. Right. But he's not impaired.
But he doesn't deserve to be, you know, now they're showing body cams and all. I'm like, come on. Right. You know, how many ways? It's not about money. He's so rich. He is a human being, you know? And
well,
be very careful of that police department release and stuff, because he's got enough money to sink your battleship, you know? They should.
Well,
in my opinion, that stuff should not be public information. Those body cams, unless there's something real serious happens, it's being used to embarrass him. It's not being used for any other reason but to embarrass him, and that's just wrong. So,
Watergate happened in 1972. So that happened 45 years ago.
Wow.
To the great credit of Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein, they took a burglary on June 17, 1972, and through just pure hard work and dogged determination, they slowly broke down a wall here, a wall there, a wall here, and a wall there, and they got to what should have been nothing. And they found that a White House panicked, and they were able to break down eventually to the point where it went right to the Oval Office. That's because of hard work. But that story comes along once in a lifetime. And I have felt ever since then
on the radio
that you've had a lot of people trying to get their own Watergates along the way to make their name off of someone else's misery. And Watergate's only happened once in a lifetime. Those two got it, and to their credit, when they were getting bashed left and right along the way, they eventually are the ones that got it right. Well, since then, what Watergates have we had? Everything's a gate now. So now we're going to take the dash cam of Tiger Woods, and we're going to show it courtesy of TMZ. We're going to write commentaries about how far he has fallen along the way. Has there been a greater fall from grace? Because it seems like the people that report are looking for a big name to bring down to enhance their own reputations. And at that part, I'm not big on, and I'm not on board with.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, just report the story and that's it. Right. You know, we as the public will figure out what we want to figure out, but we don't need to have it shoved down our throats just to make fun of the guy, you know? Oh, my gosh. I mean, like I said before, he's done some bad things, you know?
Right. I'm never been a fan of Tiger Woods.
He's also paid dearly for it, and he paid for it dearly publicly, you know? But to show a guy walking the line, my God, it's just get a grip. And I didn't watch it. We just turned it off and put something else on.
I haven't watched it either because, I mean, there's no need for me to watch it. I mean, there are unfortunately hundreds to thousands of people during the course of a week that have to walk the line. Well, we don't see the dash cam video of them.
No, exactly.
And some of them are 0.20 blood alcohol content, not 0.00.
Right.
After a while, it's, you know, I'm going to make my reputation up. Look, let's do market research. If I put LeBron James' name on here, people will click on the story. If I put Tiger Woods' name on here, people will click on the story. That's more important. Okay, unless you want to have an open discussion about painkillers, medications, things like that, if you want to have an open discussion on that as to you know, that you need to be as careful with them as you do with a drink. Now, that's an important conversation to have where something good comes out of the conversation that happened to somebody else. Now, that's the good part where you can sit there and have an honest conversation about it instead of using it to draw a listener in or to use it to draw a reader in.
Well, you can also fear something else, and you hear now go to Prince, go to Michael Jackson. These guys all took painkillers. You know?
Yeah.
And then they started taking too many, and before you knew it, you found out they passed. They died. And you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said he has a means to get a lot of stuff that we don't, you know?
And
my doctor's not going to... All he has to do is say, hey, I need more of these, and the doctor's going to get it for him. He's Tiger Woods. He's Michael Jackson. He's Prince. They have a means to get what they want. They have personal physicians. And that's scary, you know? I would be more scared for Tiger than anything else. You know, just as a human being, it's been a tough go for him. Take all the money. Look at the records he holds. And he hasn't won a golf tournament in how many years? And he's still young enough that if he was playing on that level to win another 40 golf tournaments.
Sure.
But he lost all that, and that's going to be a hard pill to swallow. When you're watching it every week and knowing I was better than these guys, you know. How many majors does he have, 13?
14.
14? My goodness, you know. And he hasn't won a major in, what, 7 years?
Nine years. Yeah, he's 40
nine
now.
Years? Yeah, 40 years old. Heck, he could win. Easily, he could go on a run. He's kept himself, besides, you know, with the way he kept himself in good shape. It's got to be hard for him to swallow. And
sure it is.
Yeah, anyway, I didn't want to create.
No, but I think you make. I think you make some really good points. And again, I think too often. Celebrities use the media to get the word out about what they're doing. Media use the celebrities to get people to click onto their stories or watch what they're doing.
It's a two-way street. You're right.
Sure. So. One uses the other, vice versa. As everyone knows, and Sean knows this, I think above everything else, I'm usually I never really go into stuff like that. It's just, you know, I see no purpose in it.
That's good. It makes you listenable. I hate it when guys take opinions and they have nothing to back it up, you know? And they form a judgment about somebody they don't know. Like you said before, you don't know Tiger Woods, so how are you going to make a judgment about what he's doing with his life besides reading TMC, you know, or whatever it's called?
Right. I have no idea. I have no idea, and I have no idea what's been prescribed to him as to what he's supposed to take. I know the reputation of the surgery that he had. The reputation of a surgery he had is not easy, and the reputation of surgery he had brings with it pain.
No. He's had, three back surgeries?
I think four now.
Four?
Yeah. Shame.
Okay. What Native American language was Super Bowl 30 the first to be broadcast in?
What Native language? Super Bowl 30?
Yeah.
I would say it was the first time the Super Bowl was broadcast in Spanish.
Sean?
I would agree.
Navajo.
Well, you know what? But where was Super Bowl 30? It was in Arizona.
I have no idea.
It was. It was in Arizona. In fact, you remember that game, Sean. God, Larry Brown of the Cowboys had a great game, didn't he?
Yeah, so did Neil O'Donnell.
Don't you remember that game, Sean? Super Bowl 30?
Yeah, Larry Brown. His 15 minutes started and ran out in that game.
He ended up getting a free agent contract with the Oakland Raiders. He took that one game and he made it pay huge dividends. Mm-hmm. Huge dividends.
Sean's turn.
Okay, I found a quick one here. Well, I don't know if it's a quick one, but Mike Trout, arguably one of the tops in baseball right now, going to be out for a couple of months. We could be kind of getting into cybermetrics here. The on-base plus slugging, you see that OPS stat get kicked around?
Yeah.
OPS.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
All right, well, he had, prior to the injury, a 1.203 OPS when he got hurt. Six or six. Name the players who did that over a full season. There's six players that did that.
Mario Mendoza.
What? Tommy Lasorda.
Devin Marrero.
Actually, Steve, two of those players you mentioned last hour on our This Day in Sports History segment. You mentioned two of the players there.
What, Lou Gehrig?
Yes.
Babe Ruth?
Yes.
Ted Williams didn't do it?
That's another one.
Okay, so it's three.
Oh, DiMaggio? Yep.
No.
Interesting. You know what? DiMaggio didn't walk a lot, Sean. He did not walk a lot. Never struck out either. I mean, he had 300.
Not Mickey Mantle.
Willie Mays.
No.
David Ortiz.
No.
No.
Two of the four left on this list played in the 90s. Good bulk of their career played in the 90s.
Ken Griffey Jr.
No.
Barry Bonds?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, I'll tell you, Jet Fuel has its bonuses. Yeah.
Another controversial player from the 90s.
There's still one more, right?
Sammy Sosa?
No, but in that area.
Martinez from Seattle?
I mean,
Edgar
Martinez is really good.
No.
From that era, it can't be Mark McGwire, is it?
You are correct.
Wow. He was all juice, though. Hey, did you see Mr. Met?
I know, yeah. We talked about Mr. Met yesterday. I'll tell you, Mr. Met, right now, Mr. Met got provoked. That's one thing you have to have, like, a lot of discipline to wear that suit, because you got people who love you, adore you, the whole deal, and then you got people who may have had one or two more drinks that TMZ doesn't catch walking lines, and, you know. And
he's on the cover of the New York Daily News. It's great. They got a little white bubble over his finger.
Mr. Met.
I wish I would have had this for yesterday's show, but I said, yeah, the guy who replaced Mr. Met, who got in trouble, who was in costume for yesterday's game, Bobby Bonilla.
No way. Figure he's on the payroll, right?
Right.
Bobby Bonilla's still being paid.
You get something out of him.
I mean, since he's still being paid by the Mets, as far as I'm concerned, stick the helmet on him and send him out.
That is funny.
By the way, Jimmy Fox and Hornsby were the other two players with at least the 1.203 OPS.
Rogers, Hornsby, and who?
Fox. Jimmy Fox?
Oh, Jimmy Fox.
Yep.
Yeah.
So. And also, how about this? Frank Thomas, he could have done that in the 90s. Well, he... 1994, Frank Thomas did it, but that was a strike season, so that wasn't a full season.
So. Disgraceful.
Yeah. So there you go.
Well, Yankees still in first place.
Yes, they are.
Penguins are still winning. Yeah. All is well. And the Cavaliers are not going to win a game in this series.
Really? Think so?
No. I watched part of the game last night. There's a... Golden State's got five players who can win the game, and Cleveland's got two. I mean, adding Kevin Durant, it just makes it a total mismatch, I think.
I picked the Warriors in five, so.
I mean, Kyrie Irving's trying to guard Kevin Durant. I mean, he comes up with his hip. You know, it's like the guy's 7 feet tall. He plays the game like a guard.
Well, it's like Tim Frazier of the New Orleans Pelicans. was here last night, and I talked to Timmy, and I was talking to him about Anthony Davis, and that's what's made Anthony Davis such a unique talent. Anthony Davis played high school basketball. He was 6 feet 2 inches tall as a freshman and a sophomore, and he was a point guard. And then he had that growth spurt to 7 feet tall and maintained his point guard skills. That's what makes him such a tough player to guard. He can handle the ball at 7 feet. Well, that's Durant. Durant has the height of a 7-footer with the game of a 6'5" guy.
It's amazing. You know what's amazing? My beautiful wife is here.
Well, great. Well, and tell her I said hi, and we'll see you here in the studio next week.
Can't wait.
We will be there. Can't wait to see you. Can't wait to meet you, Sean.
You betcha,
okay.
Bud.
Okay. Bye, guys.
All right. Hey, get to Brewers Outlet before the weekend's over with. Great specials. Check it out. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio with great pride every day on News Radio 1070.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.